This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We are a little bit of problem there, but anyway, welcome back for the still in the first month of 2014. And I have a special guest here today, Mr. Charles P. Cannemar, and we've talked about him. He's the former soldier, veteran, who's having problems with receiving his prosthetics or prosthetic legs that were issued by the Veterans Administration, and we're going to talk about that. And but before we do that, I have asked someone to call in. There's going to be a play, it's August Wilson's play, and it's Miss Lillian Jones from. She is the director of this play. It's called Radio Golf. Good morning, Lillian. How are you?
I am quite well, and yourself?
Good. Real quickly, I want to let everybody know about the play that you are directing. This is your directorial debut. So tell us about it and where it's going to be located and when does it first open?
The play opens this coming Friday night, January 31st, and it runs through February 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It plays each evening from Thursday evening through Saturday evening, starting at 7:30, and Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock. It's at Ebelay in Doe Cannery Square at 650 Ebelay. It's right across the street from Doe Theater, right off of Nimitz Highway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and is there admissions and what have you, and how do they get tickets?
They can either order tickets online at www.taghawaii.net. The price is $20 for general seating. On Thursday evenings, all tickets are $12. We also offer military and student discounts for $12. If there is a group of 10, they can come for $12. They can either order tickets online or they can call Joyce Powell to get a ticket.
Okay. Well, we'll keep plugging it because I love the Tag Theater, and they've put on some very good plays. And a little disclosure here, Lillian just so happened to be from right near my hometown in Mississippi. As you can tell, you hear that southern drawl. So, but she now resides here in Honolulu for some while. And I actually went to school with her, and let me make sure I'm accurate about this. I went to school with her older sister.
Yes.
Not Lillian. Lillian is much younger, still wet behind the ears. But I applaud you for your play and your first directorship. So
we're excited about it, and we hope people come out to support us.
Okay. And is the website for getting more information?
www.taghawaii.net. N-E-T.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, and we'll keep plugging it for you.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Anyway, I'm always happy. The Tag Theater is really good. I've seen a couple of good plays there, and it's just fun being there and kind of exciting. So they need your support. All theaters need your support. You know, it's that way. But anyway, back to Mr. Cannemar, I tell you, folks, I know you've seen it on TV, and I know that we talk about veterans and the difficulties and what they're experiencing, but something's wrong with this whole process, the Veterans Administration. As you know, the same group of people brought us parties with roasted shrimp on the Barbie and with the governor and Colin Kippen there at the YWCA, this grand opening with Kimberly Pine, city councilwoman, and all of those folks. Something is wrong with this whole process. There's no accountability. Now, we don't know all the good things they do, and probably we'll never know, but leave it to them, they will tell us in some form or fashion. But they rarely tell us just how horrible they treat veterans, many of them, And I can't explain to you why, because it's hard to accept what I'm witnessing from this Veterans Administration. And here in Honolulu, as well as Shinseki, I mean, we've glorified him. He gets appointed, and you write him a letter, and you might get an electronic response in the whole process. It's flawed. And so Mr. Canemar, a little bit of background, had both legs, not at the same time, amputated. And we're going to talk to him, and this is disclosure of some information, medical information and what have you, and he's here to also and has authorized us the discussion and obtaining documents on his behalf. So he was prescribed, and we have the documentation. Unfortunately, the Veterans Administration feel that they have to harass him or something. I don't know what it is, but we're going to try to get to the bottom and hope that you as listeners will have some suggestions what he can do. The prosthetic legs have already been manufactured. The Veterans Administration ordered them, placed a purchase order for them. And for some strange reason, they will not give them. So, Charles, we're here, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning.
So, let's just start off laying out a track record here of what has happened. You were able to obtain some of your records regarding this prosthetic.
Yes, I was. And so far I see a bill for $20,213.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they paid it or what's going on.
So if you would walk us through the basic, and we'll get more specific. I just learned yesterday through conversation that you arrived at the hospital to have your second leg amputated. You were wearing a prosthetic. And what's the status of that prosthetic?
I can't remember. I was in an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what went on, if I had it on or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or where it's at now. I have to ask my roommate.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when I woke up, both legs were gone.
Did you wear one to triple with you on the ambulance?
I think so. Can't remember.
Okay. But you don't know where it's. Is it at your home?
Got no idea.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to lie. It's, I have no idea. All I know is I don't have two now.
Mm-hmm. So they fitted you, after you were in the hospital for amputation, they fitted you with prosthetics, right?
This was like a couple years later, yeah.
Right, yes, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you have these documents here, and they're down at the bottom on the fourth page. It says page one. And it says here, call Place of Joy, PT. She noted that he is independent using power chair in home and that she has discontinued services at this time. Joy also notes that she did not feel that he, meaning Canemar, was a candidate for bilateral TF prosthetics. You recall anything of that?
I don't even remember who she was. I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you the truth.
Mm-hmm. And so 10/24/12, that's October 2012, correct? So, but in 2000, read up top there what it says, the 12/6/11. What does it say up there, 2011?
Seen by Kai Newton. He was graduated from Washington Huskies University, and he was fitting me for my prosthetics.
Yeah, but what is it? I'm asking, what is it? Let the listeners see what it is that you have here in your hand. Just go ahead and read it.
Patient continued to work on endurance on left sound limb.
Mm-hmm.
Except for fitting prosthetics and check socket.
Mm-hmm. So they say that in here you were you showed the ability to stand in parallel bars for 10 minutes, and then you were able to walk at some point, they say, 100 feet, and that you were a good candidate. Now, this is in 2011, but this lady, Joyce, says no, but we don't know. She's a PT, I guess, therapist or what have you.
I don't even think I've ever met her.
Okay.
The truth, yeah.
Okay.
She's a therapist or not. I don't think I've met her.
Okay. So 1-5-12, they also, they go ahead. But these documents basically tells a story that you have actually been fitted. You've been, the manufacturer made an assessment that you are capable of using them and you are a good candidate. But what have they told you?
Well, it seems to me like they took everything away. I was in there the other day for an observation. That's what they called it. And I was, like, ganged up and surrounded by their staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we got nowhere in that. Mm-hmm. So
you arrived there looking, thinking that you were originally going to start up the process or be refitted. Or just to be handed your prosthetics. Is that correct?
Right.
But once you got there, they switched on you and then referred. What they say? Who did you meet with?
They ganged up on me.
Who did you meet with originally? Your meeting was scheduled for, and how did you come about going to this meeting?
Well, they called me up and told me you have to come in the afternoon. So I showed up. Now, mind you, okay, every time I have to call the handy van, it's $2 each way. Mm-hmm. When the VA should be paying for this,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they should be paying $2 each way, and they don't do it. It's you have to take it out of your own pocket, you know? So this evaluator, his name is Ernie, slash,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was supposed to do the evaluation. But it didn't go.
Was yesterday, Friday's meeting.
Friday, right.
So you thought you were going there to be handed, basically start up the process and receive your prosthetics.
Prosthetic legs. Again.
Yeah, I know, but
okay.
That's what you were
that's
there
for. That's what I thought, right.
Yeah. And that's what was presented to you originally. So when you arrive there, he tells you, what did he tell you?
That you're here for another observation.
Okay.
And I said, another one.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend went with me, Tina, and sure enough, man, they like ganged up on me like they didn't want to do anything, you know.
And when you say they, who is they? This is after I understand that Mr. Is it Eric or what is his name?
Oh, this is a reevaluation. Ernie.
Ernie,
he's a therapist.
Okay, so Ernie told you something different when you arrived, and then he referred you to Turan, what is it, Patricia Turan, what's her last name? I don't know her last name.
I don't know either.
But anyway,
I've
you
never
went
seen
in,
her before.
You met with those people, and who were they?
People from the VA. I don't know who. Mm-hmm. One guy was a doctor. Another one was a public affair officer. Dr. Pierre, I guess he runs the place across the street at the
mm-hmm.
Center for Aging. Mm-hmm. He was there, and we had dealt before. Seems to me like he didn't want me in there. Okay.
Okay. So then they basically, I understand, wanted to get you to commit to a reevaluation. Now this is going on 3 years, and you've already been fitted. Down to the point where there's this document say that even names a date that you were going to receive the prosthetics, that everything was a go and clear, and you had demonstrated that you could use it, right?
Right.
So yesterday they wanted you to commit to another reevaluation.
yes. You know, we're not done with this yet. You know, it's how many times are we going to have to go through this, you know?
And you asked the question, why you? Why did it happen to you?
What? Yeah, it's, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do. When I joined the Army, they told me it's a six years. I said, okay, 6 years. I was an only son. I didn't have to do anything. I felt as a man to this great nation. Seen a lot of people back in 71 going to Canada. You know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something for this great nation.
Yeah. So, again, they say, and I'm offering this because in this report, progress notes, patient seen in office, eval fit for the prosthetic socket. Mr. Canemar walked in parallel bars for 50 feet. Charles notes that he is experiencing some discomfort. And so all along there, I don't understand. And this, you don't have any control over this, and I'll ask the listeners out there, how is it that the Veterans Administration, for whatever reason they are withholding you, they never told you, as you've represented, any form or fashion that you were rejected, you were not going to get these?
Never got a letter, a postcard, not even a phone call, nothing.
Never told you were canceled?
Nope.
Never, did they ever tell you that this purchase order was canceled?
No. Like I said, didn't get a phone call, a postcard, nothing.
I understand. And so, but yet they apparently had canceled it. But what I don't understand, and the listeners out there, how is it that the Veterans Administration can, and so that you'll know that we're talking from facts here, the primary insurance, this is a document now that responds to the documents. It's a receipt of Veterans Hawaii, VA 261 PO, purchase order 592. The Veterans Administration ordered this, and no matter what it is with Mr. Canemar, the company gets to eat the bill for $20,000. It's $20,213.12. How dare the Veterans Administration, in such billy fashion, to think that they could issue a purchase order, have a to a company, the company delivers the item or the product, and for whatever reason they walk away and leaving the business to eat the cost. That in itself is a totally different story, but it speaks of the arrogance and the bully mindset, because they know this company cannot speak out. If they speak out, they're on a blacklist. They won't more likely be in receipt of any more purchase orders of VA in their ways of bullying things. Apparently, this is what they've resorted to in many of these cases. So how is it, and Canemar can't answer this, and I can't answer it, but it speaks a lot about the wicked behavior that is found in these departments called the Veterans Administration. Even the Honolulu Veterans, the Hawaii Veterans Administration, they all seem to be filled with themselves and unapproachable and insensitive. Canemar's position is situation is just horrendous, because either you've made a purchase order, you ordered it, the company delivers, the company fits him, and then you tell the company you're not going to issue them to Canemar, and so you don't pay the company, and then, to add insult to injury, you leave them lying on the shelf, them being the prosthetic legs. So what are they going to do with them? And by the way, these are not your normal legs. What is it that you look forward to in receipt of these prosthetic legs? What do you intend to do with these things? They really not built for running or anything. What are the basic things that you, what are you looking for?
So I'm able to sit on a toilet. Right now I got to put a stand and everything just to get up there to sit on it. Okay, with these things I'm hoping that I get to sit on a toilet, turn around and just sit on the toilet. You know?
Independently, yes. Not with the aid of others or some other apparatus.
Stool, like right now I have a stool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some bathrooms.
Building is, you indicated that you said that it was an ADA, so it must be a struggle for you.
Well, every day is a struggle when you lose part of your body. Everything's a struggle. You know, mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but.
Yeah. And people like myself and others who haven't experienced that we tend to be insensitive about it. But this is an agency that, I mean, they get paid. It's not their money. They should conclude. I mean, can you describe what it is up and down that you've been going through for the last 3 years, getting so close? You've actually gone and put a stocking on your legs to fit in the prosthetics.
Prosthetic, yeah.
Did you feel like, okay, this is it, I'm going to get them?
It was close, but it feels like I'm dressed still, you know. It's like you put the stockings on first, mm-hmm. then you get in, then you start walking in them.
Mm-hmm.
And
they just, that the rest of it never comes.
Never comes. You just, man, I'm going to be like this the rest of my life, you know. It's
mm-hmm. Now, what's really painful, they even talk about a specific date that you're going to get them. Says your patient and therapist to be called when prosthetic complete and ready for fitting at patient's therapy appointment. I don't understand. So here's the other part of this that's, and sound as if we don't know what we're talking about is stumbling, but we're not. Just simply trying to. I contacted the Veterans Administration, Aaron Williams, who was directly involved in this process, and he referred to me to Craig Oswald. I soon later learned that Craig Oswald is not the PIO officer, the PA officer, as Aaron Williams represented. And if they deny that, then I just understand that I have recorded proof that it is exactly what happened. They have not responded to me since January 10th. They refuse to respond. And so this is really unbelievable. So the issue with Canamar now is that they didn't tell him he was canceled. They didn't tell him he was not going to receive the prosthetics. But also, they didn't give him anything informally, so now he should be able to appeal it. But he can't appeal it because they haven't rendered a final decision. They're still talking about reevaluation for the third time, 3 years.
Something I'm not quite sure about the timetable, but yeah, it's something like that.
Mm-hmm. So this is who is the head of the Veterans Administration here?
I tried to meet with her. Her name is Tracy Betts. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know how can we resolve the situation. I went up there 3 times, got refused and canceled 3 times. So, but that's supposed to be the honcho. So.
Yeah, we've tried to contact Tracy Betts on other matters, and she simply does not respond. But I guess she's bigger than big. But imagine, they get nice salaries, they get to drive around in nice cars, they get to get per diem and all of those things, supposedly while serving soldiers. But the problem is, and they also get COLA, and yet they can't do the job. You can't approach them. If you write the OIG of the VA, they send you an electronic letter. So this brings have you reached out to Tulsi Gabbard, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, on this matter?
No, I haven't. I know all about her. She was an MP officer.
I thought you guys had sent. So she's been notified, and she knows of your situation. How about Ms. Serrano? Serrano?
Yes.
And so, Schatz, has he received a...
Oh, yeah, I went to his office a long time ago.
And what did he do?
Well, I wasn't even rated, so he got me 70%, but that's like nothing.
Regarding your prosthetics, have you talked to Schatz about your prosthetics?
No, sir. No, I haven't. He's in a heated battle right now.
So here's a 2/24/12 progress notes. Patient seen in office, eval fit for the prosthetic. Patient notes that he is experiencing discomfort and cover the medical prosthetic. Patient requests additional. Plan to deliver prosthetics to patient next Wednesday. So this was written 2/24/12. Back in February 2012, they even said that you gave a specific date that you were going to receive them.
Nothing yet. I'm waiting like everybody else.
So 2012 went by, 2013
Came and went.
And now we're in 2014. So if any veterans out there have any comments on this, I'd like to hear from you. Do you have any suggestions for Mr. Canamar? If so, please, 524-1080. I'd like to hear from you and see what can be done, if any of you can offer a little help. But he tried to go out and wave down President Barack Obama's
motorcade,
right? And no luck, right? Now, you said something about the White House staff or someone has called to interested in Mr. Canamar. What's the status of that?
Tim Hart called, and I don't know what's going on yet. But
and he's from the White House, President White House, President Obama's White House staff.
I don't know if he's another soldier or a lawyer. Or I don't know.
But he's from the staff.
Yeah,
he's from the staff. You indicated he was the staff member. Okay.
Right.
So what's your next step? What's your next move? Are you going to try to ask for an appeal?
I hope I get out of this limbo. Something. I don't know. You know, it's been too long. You know, it's been too long.
Well, 3 years.
Yeah. So like I said, I just want out of this limbo. I just want the care that I was promised. That's all. I'm not asking for nothing else.
Or that you're deserving.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to...
Not my legs.
What we're going to do is, again, they apparently, all the way with Ron Hahn and any of those other folks that are running around masquerading as veteran administrators, who cares about the veteran? At minimum, he can claim that, well, that's federal, but I've witnessed him intervene on other parts, but he could write a letter. Or he could try to bring closure to this circle jerk that you're experiencing. Someone amongst them should either finalize this process, draw conclusion, and let you go on your way rather than keep cycling you back, calling you back, raising your hopes, and then letting you down like Friday. And you have no recourse. But again, I don't know how anyone could actually, in the Veterans Administration, think that they could order something and have it built, then decide to retract the purchase order or whatever without telling the patient.
Yeah, this has been a big letdown, believe me. Another one, here's another good one. I've been paying into Social Security since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there about six times, tried to get SSI, tried to get SSDI. Okay, now I've been paying into this since I was 13 years old. You know what they told me? Come back when you turn 62. Mm-hmm. But now we have all these program kids, mongoloids, other disabled people. They're getting it, and I paid into it, and I can't get it. Now you figure that one out.
You have to be, what, they told you, 62?
62.
And you're not 60, you're just right around the corner.
61 next year.
Well.
Now, they knew I have two legs missing.
Mm-hmm.
Time to pay the piper. They don't want to pay. Everybody wants to get out of stuff. We got the government getting out of stuff, the VA getting out of stuff.
Well, right now we're trying to figure out why the VA not treating you, or at least giving you some responsible answers and drawing conclusions and finalizing this, right?
Yes, sir.
So, anyway, I'll see what we're going to post this up on the carolcox.com. I actually wrote an article, and for those of you out there, if you want to, you can go look at it. Quite a few people responding around the country. I'm getting lots and lots. So if nothing else, we'll put this thing, we'll expose them. And they may not succumb to justice right away, but I think in the long run, if they keep behaving the way they do, it'll catch up with them. And it's already caught up with them as far as I'm concerned, because they got to live within themselves. They got to face themselves in the mirror every day to know that whatever the issue is with you and them, or if you couldn't qualify, they have a moral obligation to finalize this process, draw conclusions, be done with it. But instead, it's as if they're dangling the carrot and have a stick in one hand and saying, come here and come on, get it. And then once you walk through the door,
pull it back.
Right.
Yep. That's what it seems like. Everybody, the government.
Yeah, psychologically, yeah. It must be. But these are the same people that stood by and watched U.S. vets feed in the YWCA facility feed people spoiled meat and spoiled food products. So I'm not shocked at what would happen. Really, I'm not. And then the arrogance that they don't want to respond anyway. And then lie to you and tell you to call. What was his name? Craig Oswald. What was his status? What is his title?
Maintenance.
Yeah, he's a facility maintenance. They referred me to facility maintenance.
And that makes sense
because there's so much. To say that, to inquire, they were told, this is Aaron Williams, we were told not to say anything. You need to call Craig Oswald at facility. He's the one. He told me, the PIA officer. And no response, no answer. And so we later learned that Craig Oswald is actually the facility's maintenance. I don't know. Well, we'll find out, hopefully. So I think maybe you just should continue to pursue this and bring, but in closing on this one, here's what I learned in the process of interviewing a number of people. So when President Obama was here and you were sitting out there trying to get his attention, the Veterans Administration staff and the higher-ups were sitting on pins and needles, and they were poised to do something for you if the media grabbed their attention. But once they found that your story didn't get traction, it was covered on KGMB and that was the extent of it, once they saw that, they start to celebrate, boasting that they had dodged a bullet. Folks, I don't know about you, and this may not be your cup of tea or your interest, but this is completely contrary to what we see. Let's help our soldiers. Let's protect them. Let's support them. Let's make sure that they are rewarded for serving our country, because what we have today is based on the blood and the backbone of the soldiers. And if just simple one soldier is being treated as you are, I would say, venture to say that there's many, many more. And I've met a number of them. But because of privacy and all those issues, we're not able to get that information. So, anything in closing?
No, I just hope that we settle this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to thank all the people for listening. I hope we did some good with this.
Okay, and so you can see Charles. He's normally over there on in Salt Lake City at what's the street? Cross Streets.
Salt Lake Boulevard.
At Salt Lake Boulevard.
Salt Lake Boulevard. In the McDonald's area.
All right. So anyway, we're going to bring this one to a close, and we'll be talking with Charles later on. We'll follow up with some things. So anyway, thank you, and we'll see if we can continue to help you and try to get this.
I appreciate this. Believe me.
Okay. All righty, we're going to take a break for a minute, and we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Had to help Mr. Canamar out. He's confined to a wheelchair, and it's kind of difficult getting maneuver around and getting all. So I have Richard DeConte on, and like many of you, I've asked if you have comments and on certain subjects, please feel free and sound off and call in. So I've done that. And Richard, good morning, and thanks for calling. And You wanted to talk about the affordable housing sale and some of your observations. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Well, what we'll do, go ahead and start now, and then in the next hour, if you care to, you can call back, and we'll take a couple more minutes later.
Okay. At your convenience, I will start, and then you can
go for it, right? You got it. It's your microphone.
Most of us as common citizens, taxpayers, don't ask the right questions. It's not who, what, where, when, how, it's why. Why? Three issues: Kakaʻako, affordable housing, and the public transportation. Why no accountability? Why no transparency? Why semi-autonomous contracts? Why no risk management with our money, taxpayer money, our money? Deceiving ourselves are deceiving the taxpayers, avoiding complex risks, denying potential errors, and I'm going to go into more detail later if I have time. We don't set milestones. We invest too much just to make it right. Believe supposed experts, ask opinions from people who thought we should be asking opinions from people who thought us wrong. We should research other organizations. We should gather all the stakeholders in one place at one time to discuss the same thing. We should list causes for our failures and why so many mistakes. This applies to Kakaʻako development. It applies to affordable housing, and it involves public mass transportation. So I could stop here now and call later, or
no, just go ahead, and I'll let you know when we get down to the last five. Go ahead, you got about
okay,
5 minutes.
If
okay?
You will do that, thank you. In Kaka'aku, why did Howard Hughes Corporation buy 60 acres? Why are they building luxury condos? Why didn't the Hawaii Community Development Authority respond to public complaints? CPR, if there is a complaint, there is a problem, and you respond. Why are parklets being considered in Kaka'aku and elsewhere? Why did our political decision makers allow this to go so far? Why is there a plantation mentality so that the aristocracy and the commons are separate? Who has the power, and how are they destroying the culture? In terms of affordable housing, why does the city administration want to sell public rental housing in a public-private partnership? Why can't Affordable Housing Partners Limited raise the money to buy city property? Why does AHP LLC chosen? Why were they chosen? Why does this partnership want seller financing? Affordable Housing Partners Limited wants to borrow money from the city to buy city property. Why, according to Amber Shin, the managing director, what does she mean by a gap in financial transactions? And in terms of course, rail, why was steel wheel on steel rail chosen? Why doesn't the entire process provide rider service? Why no buses or limited bus service? Why handy van affected disastrously? And the intent from this public transportation was to provide safety, schedule, speed, noise, access, comfort, ADA compliance, and aesthetics. And yet, those were not the first priority for the decision makers or for the power brokers. Example, the expert panel that wanted steel wheel on steel rail, their names are Tober, Knight, Bersoni, Kolasar. Who picked them? Where did they meet? Which staff helped them? Who gave them information, slides, PowerPoint, printed documents? Why was there little or no discussion? Why was Norman Mineta brought here at our taxpayer expense? Honolulu needed it back in 92, and this is what he said. Light rail has been proven over and over again. Wait a minute. It's not light rail. It's heavy rail. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did this or why did this happen? Muthi needed money to run for higher office. Muthi goes to corporations for money. Muthi gives the corporations allegiance to the project, the largest project in history. He gets the unions, private industry votes. Goes to the state and gets GET. He wanted 1%. He got 0.05%, but the state gets 10% of that 0.5%. Muthi goes to the feds, and he gets the feds to agree. Muthi demands elevated hard rail on steel track. Now, he's got to get around the city council. So, therefore, he has Nestor Garcia, chairman and head of a committee, who killed monorail, magnetic levitation, rubber on concrete, hot lanes. And it didn't go through, and they voted 4-4, but Barbara Marshall was ill, and she was the deciding vote, and she wanted accountability, but she was not able to enact that. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you now have the state, the federal government, for the steel wheel on steel track. And now you've got to get around the city council. Mm-hmm. So what they did, they created HART. HART is a semi-autonomous entity whereby they have the ability themselves to hire their own lawyers, hire their own people, doesn't have to be civil service, and most significant of all, they have eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
These are not elected by us. These are people chosen. The whole process has been suspect, and it's not for the common good of the people in terms of writers' service. There are ulterior motives. Why was it changed whereby it would go from Kapolei through Salt Lake and to the University of Hawaii in Manoa?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it changed and it went through Kaka'aku mm-hmm. to Ala Moana?
So we're going to take a break, Richard, and join me back on the other side the next hour, okay?
Sure, I will.
We're coming down and we'll pick it up from there.
Okay, thank you
Richard
very much.
All right, Richard. Richard
Bye.
DeConte, one of the listeners out there. So, anyway, there's a lot of questions, and when you stand back and look, as Richard has quantified it, there's so many questions, and the bottom line is it's politics, it's folks out there getting political favors, and golden parachutes. I'm sure that nowadays most of them are getting kickbacks, but they're smart enough to know how to do it and put it in other folks' names and all of that, the hide and blame game. So, but we've had our share of craziness here in Honolulu as far as taking the issues and the problems and fixing them for the people. And let's talk on the other side about Caldwell and Carlisle and Hanneman and Abercrombie. And this is going to be a difficult election coming up with the people that are, the do nothing people that are now putting the hats back into the ring, and it's going to make for an interesting election because none of them have worth their salt. So we'll be back shortly. This is a Carol Cox show. You can pick it up live on the internet at carolcox.com.
KWAI Honolulu, K101. time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, I wanted to again give a plug for the Tag Theater, the Hawaii premiere of August Wilson's Radio Golf. It's called the name of the play. It'll be going from January 31st to February 23rd at the Tag Theater. And basically, you can go to the website and pull up some of the information on that. And I'll put a link to it on our website at carolcox.com. And basically what the story is, go to www.taghawaii.net, and you can get more information. But the reason I'm interested in this story, it has a lot of interesting things related current today. And basically, Radio Golf is the name of the play, and the quote is, "It explores an ever-present theme of gentrification of inner cities and its impact on lower-income individuals. Specifically, it explores the destruction of the famed property at 1839 Wiley. The house was a center of healing and sanctuary, but is now a center of conflict as two upper-middle-class African-American men seek to destroy it," quote, "to improve," and then the end quote, the neighborhood. The play begs the question, are they true power brokers or mere pawns in the game of life? The theater is right across the street from Dole Cannery, movie theater in Dole Cannery Square off Nimitz Highway. And again, that is Radio Golf by August Wilson and directed by Lillian Jones. Anyway, as we were talking, I had Richard DeConte just putting together a list of concerns and observations he's made with the many issues that we've presented, that we, the city council, legislators, the governor, has presented. And they all seem to have a common theme or a common pattern, and that is some relationship. The people have been excluded from this process. At least they don't have one of involvement that has integrity, and it's not meaningful. So anyway, I got back Richard back here with us, and we'll bring him on.
Okay, Richard.
Thank you so very much for giving me the opportunity. My only concern is for the common good of the people. Going back to February 28th, 08, I've got notes here. Barbara Marshall, the panel that we talked about that is responsible for the recommendations for Steel Wheel on, with no that much information. There was no cost estimate in the RFI, no cost technology, no cost efficiency, and Barbara Marshall wanted to pause, stop, reconsider. Keno said on this in 08, "Nothing else will stop congestion but steel wheel on steel rail." Now, bringing us more up to date, the way in which this was enacted is, one, they demonized anti-steel wheel and steel rail activists by doing this. If you are opposed to this, you are against job creation. Murphy, Carlisle, pull the plug, my way, the only way. They oversimplified by false dichotomies. They said that steel wheel, steel track, or nothing. They created specious claims of certainty that steel wheel through would go through Salt Lake to UH Manoa. It isn't. It was changed. There was no certainty there. It was a done deal from the beginning. The denigrator criticized thinking, critical thinking. Hart is more effective than the city council. The power does not want decisions from the city council. They don't want debate, deliberation. They want to circumvent the city council, so they created Hart. One interesting aside is that Governor Christie in New York, in New Jersey, there was a proposal to build rail, some kind of mass transit from New Jersey to New York, and Christie objected to it because it was supposed to go from New Jersey to the Port Authority in New York, but they changed it to Macy. And, of course, we changed it from Salt Lake to Kaka'aku and then to... So there's obviously much, much more in detail, specific names, numbers, etc. But I would like to make a pitch for the Handy Van. Friday, August 31st, 2012, city admits Handy Van problems as Consul Riders events. Oh my. The funding for the van has not been rendered. 5307 was a federal contract for urban development for the Handy Van. That contingency money was taken by the city to be used for HART for the rail. Now they will say they didn't use it yet, but it is necessary for HART to raise money. They didn't have enough money. If they go to the federal government, they have to prove to the federal government that they can continue the project. So they have gotten money from every source they can. So they took the contingency money from the Handy Van, and they're using it for the rail project. In terms of Mr. Grabauskas, he was the one for the big dig in Boston. Some short time ago, I was at Middle Street listening to a presentation by the HART Commission, and the engineers wanted to know about the funding for the power source, the generator. And it turned out that that money hadn't been allocated, and Mr. Grabauskas was very surprised, and the next day in the newspaper, of course, it was made permanent to print. Every time you make a change, we, as a person, sign a contract. If we don't abide by that contract, it's going to cost us penalties. Well, this is exactly the same thing. This is costing the taxpayers billions of dollars. And all you have to do is ask yourself, how many changes have there been in this whole procedure, going all the way back to its inception?
Now, I have a question, Richard.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned the Handy Van and the funds that have been, they've not been rendered, as you say, but you're saying they've been diverted? Is that correct? Did I hear that right?
Yes. Now, so, in this way, potential money that could have been used for the Handy Van has not been adequately, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken it two or three times. I'm a former quadriplegic. I walk now. I'm happy. But I am with the people that ride the Handy Van every day. Last week I waited an hour and a half at Ala Moana because the driver told me he had just given me on his manifest because they didn't have enough vans. The truth about the Handy Van is this. They don't have enough vans. Why? Because they don't have enough money to buy the vans. There is a lot of conflict about the litigation in terms of who bought, who's selling, who was the broker for the vans, etc., etc. The problem is money.
So when you say the problem is money, they can't buy all of the vans that they think they need, or can they buy some?
Well, they're supposed to. They're supposed to buy enough vans to provide an adequate service whereby a rider would be picked up within 30 minutes of the time he scheduled. Mm-hmm. Now, the article I'm looking at right now from 2012, 46 of 160 handy vans are broken. Mm-hmm. Question, why is that reality? And the reason is because they don't have enough money to fix all of those vans, or two, they don't have enough vans. To what extent are these vans broken? I've had, this is the worst example, well, two of them. One, I'm picked up late from where I live. We go up the block to pick up someone else. That person is not there. And the person comes outside to explain why the person, the passenger, is not there, says, someone else picked the person up. A private person in a pickup truck mm-hmm. picked up that person who was supposed to be on a handy van.
So what then, that... That has not, in my opinion, or what I'm hearing, that's the ethics of the rider rather than the government.
Well, but...
What, I mean, how does that translate into or the government not buying if you got abuses such as that?
Okay. I mean, how, this was an impaired person who had lapse of memory, etc. And if that person had been picked up by... someone with ulterior motives, it could have been a lawsuit against the city.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how that comes into the budget. I mean, that's just the family members. If this party got into the car with someone, I thought it was just an offering a ride. The handy van is to you call up and designate a certain time. And they arrive, pick up. Are you saying that they're responsible if that party goes and hops in another car with someone else? I don't understand that. Maybe you can explain then how does that translate into affordability of the city not buying cars? Well, I think I missed something there.
So, okay.
But that's for clarification.
Yes, yeah, no, that, then I can't because I don't know what litigation would ensue. I'm just concerned that the something might have happened to that person, and if there had been adequate, I don't know.
Well, but the other question I have for you is, so we have these situations, and we talked about this last year and earlier about this, the handy van issues, but where is there's a group that is supposed to be representing the disabled and...
Seafarer.
Where are they? I mean, if this thing, where is, as I'd asked a year ago, where is the outrage? Where is, I don't hear anything, and so I was under the impression that everything had been mended and fixed and there was no broken parts, and so you're saying different now.
I am not just saying it. All you have to do is go to the let me...
Oh, no, I accept what you're saying as being fact. I don't believe
it.
Fact. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. I'm just taken aback.
Let me explain. I was part of the group, and I was trying to be as conscientious as possible. And what happens is they're given the opportunity once a month to go to the city council in the council room and meet with Reen Horimoto and to express their feelings, attitude, problems, etc. And this has been going on for years. And absolutely nothing has happened. They have not tried to use any leverage. They have to have Mr. Reen Horimoto have a resolution to help the handy van riders, etc. And it's going... has gone nowhere. They have negotiated with the bidder for the vans, with the city council, etc. I'm not privy to all of that, but there is one person who has had a parent in 1985 when they were using the handy van, not under the city, but under another company. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for years. To answer your question, as far as I'm concerned, knowing the little that I know, they have not been effective as they could be. This mm-hmm. is the first time I've been negative, but there's got to be some more commitment, leverage, enforcement, however this group, the Citizens for a Fair Disability Rights.
So, you know, we talked earlier in the early hour about the affordable home sales, and I'll call it a debacle, but really it was a conspiracy, and I said that earlier, and I said, now, what do you think, how will this vote for set for Caldwell and other politicians that promoted this? What's your opinion of that? I'm curious as a listener and as a taxpayer and all of that, and a voter. What do you, it's as all we've seen is excuses, and I haven't seen the introduction of the one element that this guy is not a manager. He needs to be called on the carpet and held accountable. But all we've seen right now in the media is excuses and explanations and rationalizations for nonsense.
I do not have a computer. I can only go by what I read or listen to you on the radio and others. It goes back to Carlisle, who did not want to pay for affordable housing. It was costing the city money. So the mayors from Carlisle to Caldwell to all the way down are wanting to sell this property. Now, this property is for the people who have a difficulty in paying the rent on. And if you are going to build a million-dollar home on a piece of property where the property is owned by someone who paid $400,000 for it, the real property tax, of course, is going to afford the city more money. And they don't want to be encumbered by having to pay for the maintenance of affordable rentals. Now, there were several different companies.
You're saying they, you mean the city.
The city administration. Okay. The city administration. Now, I know a number that 6-2, Carlisle introduced the proposal, 6-2, the city council voted for it. I don't know that whole process.
Right.
I only know numbers.
But let's, what I'm trying to get at is to start a conversation of accountability as far as politically. For example, when they say they don't, as you indicated, they don't want to pay the upkeep, what fool on any planet or any cesspool that would build a building knowing that you have to have upkeep? I don't care if the private owners or why are we allowing this to be introduced as a sensible explanation when we should say to ourselves, I'm waiting for that one open, overt statement, public statement, that this administration is just dumb. And to engage in such practices, where is the political fallout? Everyone's talking about, well, they should sell, they shouldn't sell. They don't want it because they can't keep it up. Well, then don't buy a car if you can't afford to put fuel and wiper blades and tires, you know, the maintenance, right? That's part of your scheduling payments or when you consider buying something, correct?
No, absolutely. I just going back to the three cock-a-lock affordable housing and public mass transportation, never had the money in the beginning to start with because they mm-hmm. had their priorities were different. They're going to use creative financing.
Yeah.
And that term has been used. I laugh every time I hear it, which simply means we don't have the money, but we're going to find the money creatively.
Yeah, but again, this is a guy who touts himself as being a manager. And Amber Shin as a manager, I can tell you, this may be self degradation, but this deal looked like something I would put together. Yeah, because I don't have the expertise in dealing with these things, and so I have an excuse. I don't run out there and say I want to manage the people's monies and the finances, and I want the responsibility. But Caldwell, Carlisle, and Hanneman, too. Now, remember, this sale was way back, you know, as Rod Tam indicated, the sale. So where is the people? I'm hearing, earlier today I heard discussion, and yesterday I heard some discussion on the homeless and what have you. And I think homelessness will forever be plaguing us. As long as we people those that can do something, become dumb, so dumb that we start chasing these explanations. Well, you know, they don't have the money to buy it. Well, you know, I think they ought to go back to the drawing board and start over again. No, what the hell? No, what we should do is say no net loss in affordable homes, and then increase because the population of homelessness due to financial concerns, mental, whatever it is. But people, I'm hearing, and it's so painful to hear all of the intellectual fodder being tossed out there. Well, you know, and you talk to anyone, but no one is asking the big question.
Yes.
We are so aggressive. I hear, and myself too, I think I could have been doing a lot more as a person to intervene or to speak out, chasing the homeless around. Sidewalk rules, no sleeping, no laying down, no shopping carts, you know, all of that. And then we sit back as intellects, as people that have gone to college and learned something, and we dare not to call it what it is. This is the dumbest, most criminal behavior, that this was money coming from the back door, friends helping friends out. If you don't have it, there are procurement laws in this state that exist that you have to adhere to. And guess what? Nobody's talking about that. They're still talking about, well, maybe he needs to go back, and we need to restart this and consider the sale of it. You see how stupid that is?
Of course it is.
Go ahead. I mean, I've given my opinion.
Well, it's not civil. It's penal. And I would think, absolutely. I mean, years ago, I would say, what are you saying, Richard? But I know now, empirically, I know what's going on. I mean, can you prove it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can only offer what I offer today. Well, ask yourself this about the revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Dela Cruz goes from the council to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And Romy Cacciola goes from the council to the state. And Harimoto is going to go from the council to the state, or wants to.
Wants to, okay, let's
make it. Ikaika Anderson wants to go to the state. Okay, they're there. Now, who came down? Now, I don't question these people yet, because I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Only that it's a revolving door. Menor, Manahan, and Pine. They go from the state to the city council. It's a revolving door. Now, if they are part of the conspiracy about which we've spoken, then, of course, they're at fault. But I don't know. Also, there is the one lady in my district.
Carol Fukunaga.
Fukunaga. And the way in which she received the position, I think I know, but I can't make any comments about them. I can talk about Aquino and Nestor Garcia at length.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 24. I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, but, you know, again, if we, I think we should not allow Caldwell to go unscathed about this process. I think that he needs to, you know, the old game, pin the tail on the donkey?
Yes, yes.
I think that at a minimum, we need to identify him, at least put a orange flag on a stick to know where he is, and any time he shows up at any function to do with people's money, we know where he is.
Yes.
That we must, because I have seen insanity, but what's funny is the general public, back to the discussion of the homelessness and those factors, we as citizens, we just take anything. They wake up in the morning, they serve us anything, and we wait for an opinion in the newspaper, and we wait for this, and then we sit back and we give our bits. you know, the homeless are doing this and the homeless is that. And the reality is, this whole thing about government and the way it's handling, it's just wrong. It's money is floating, and there, as I uncovered, the city is receiving money from HUD and not spending it.
Yes.
You don't hear, you know, and then say, well, why is it the homeless and why are they there? No. Why is it that we've identified the number of homeless and there's money thrown at them, and how is it that you not get outraged about the fact that the mayor could sit and hold and not spend and be scolded by HUD?
Yes.
And then HUD should have said, enough already. You see, there's no outrage. It's like we are... It's like watching a herd of deer.
Well, it must be obvious to you and your listeners that I'm outraged, and let me give you I'm scatology, but I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. Because I'm impaired and walking is difficult, I do walk with a cane. I go to Fisher, Hawaii, and I go to the 4th Street bookstore to get the New York Times, and I go to Ross's to shop and to Long's, and I get the handy van that picks me up on either Bethel or Bishop Street. Now, I can't use the restroom. I used to be able to use Macy's. Macy's is closed. So, therefore, I go to a store, and they say, no, this is not public restroom. We don't have that for you. And so what I do is I'll have to go to the side of Ross's, and there are some trees there and open ground, and I will try to relieve myself if I possibly can. Now, no, I'm telling you...
What? I have a call and probably have a question for you, I think. You want to hold on for
sure
one second?
Sure, I will.
Hold
sure,
on.
Sure, I will.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hi there, Carol Cox. It's Jane Pasquale. I'm sorry, I just tuned in, and I can't stay very long, but you took the words right out of my mouth, because the reason why I was calling is to mention those HUD monies that have been sitting on the table for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wonder why... We, you know, why haven't those monies been spent? If the monies were spent to alleviate the homeless and to alleviate this affordable housing issue, then we wouldn't be having this discussion right now.
Right.
I don't understand why those funds have not even been tapped and why the city has not responded to HUD. Like you said, mm-hmm. HUD hasn't really come down on the city, but they have in writing said, you are violating the rules here, so mm-hmm. you need to step up,
right?
Basically. So that was my comment, and I'll get off the phone and,
okay.
and listen to discussion
well, thank
afterwards.
You.
And thank you, Carol Cox, because you played a big part in this sale not going through. However, I think we have a lot of work to do in getting a sale that mm-hmm. is winnable for everyone,
yeah.
the taxpayers, the residents, as well as the city officials. And, you know, getting back to the discussion of how these city officials go from state to city to state to city, in all fairness, there are some that really mean well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they are trying to take advantage, the sum that I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
namely Rod Tam. I don't think Rod Tam tries to take advantage of the system or take advantage of the political title. I think he truly wants to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others like Rod Tam, but for the most part, they are corrupt.
Right. And I'm still, you know, where was the outrage? Where is it? Maybe it's coming. It's a delayed reaction. I don't know. But imagine all of that money just sitting in the mayor. Now, it's Peter, Kurt Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
He received money, millions.
Right.
At least $12 million, and he don't spend it.
Right. Well, I think what's going on is exactly what's been shed light on, which is there are people on his staff that do not know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would hire people who knew what they were doing, we wouldn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do remember back in the Fossey administration, everything seemed to be running smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to say it was perfect, but it was a lot better than it is now.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is that they need to hire people who know what they're doing.
Right.
Because obviously they're sitting on this money because the person in charge of spending the money is not spending the money.
Yeah. I mean, to utter these words, we have a shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
And repeat that. And wherever he get the opportunity, he repeats that. And we're going to see us. And you're sitting on $12 million at least?
Well, here's what gets me. Mr. Abercrombie has said that we are now in a surplus. How could we be in a surplus if the city is in a deficit?
Yeah.
Can someone tell me where the math went wrong here?
Well,
how is the state in a surplus if the city is in a deficit? You can't have both.
Yeah. Yeah, and this, you know, I just hear this thing about the homeless population, and people do care. They're genuinely concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But their intentions and their words are misplaced, because what they should be now is focusing on, when you learn that millions of dollars are just sitting there wasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the population increase, and then you see the same administration aggressively selling property to people that can't afford it. And then you see this administration implementing laws and rules to kick people off, seize their property, take their... Something's wrong.
Uh-huh.
There got to be accountability. This is a crime. It's an offense against humanity.
Well, it's happening all over the nation.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, we're over here. And I just want to remind the public that don't... You know, I mean, I guess it's just safer to talk about the homeless and speculate and,
well,
you know.
You know what it is, Carol, is it's apathy.
Okay.
You know, people have just become apathetic to things
mm-hmm.
because they don't think they can do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking in general terms.
Right.
You know, I don't want to speak for people, but I think what's happened with most people is that they just don't know where to start, and they just don't know how to even help. And they think that if they act alone, they're not going to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people are not willing to come together as a community and get these issues on the table in the face of the administrators who can really do something about it.
Right.
And the administrators are just, you know, satisfied with their position and their tenure, and, you know, they're there to just fill out their time and get their status and then leave.
And the shelters are they're mismanaged.
Exactly.
And so it's time for people to start involving and engaging the homeless population.
Yes.
And stop speaking from their high chair, you know, because we're off target. I'm convinced that unless we say to Kurt Caldwell and other politicians, we're going to hold you accountable. You're ruthless to hold money. And that begs a bigger question. Why would you be holding $12 million and then crying and with one hanky of your eye saying, why would you do that? How could you muster up the gonads to even face the public and knowing you're holding money?
Yeah. My question exactly, and you took the words right out of my mouth. That's why I was calling to ask that question, and then you went ahead and said it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We see a little success, but boy, it's just the beginning, I guess.
Yeah. We have a lot of work to do, and I hope the community has learned a lesson from this, and I hope we can all come together and do something about it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Aloha, and thanks for calling.
What a wonderful call. This is why your program is such an education for me. I learned so much. What she said about... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. What she said about the community coming together, the solution of the people. I was in the civil rights movement in San Francisco when they went to Van Ness Avenue and they sat in, and when they had the University of California and also San Francisco State College. And the reason why things got done is primarily because of that. And what Jefferson said about the cycle of democracy, whereby you have oppression, and then you have rebellion,
right.
And then you have reformation, changes, but then it goes back to oppression again.
Let me get this call. Hold on.
Yeah, please do.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, hi, Carol. This is Jason. Yeah, you know, I want to give a little glimmer of hope here and there and everywhere. But, you know, we, mostly a bunch of us homeless folks, really got on the city council about that lane on the sidewalk law, and they are shelving it because we said, wait a minute, you're saying you're not targeting the homeless? And who in their right mind would lie on a sidewalk except homeless folks? And enough of the councilwoman said, oh, yeah, maybe they got an idea. Maybe they got a point there. So they shoved that. And, you know, I think if we just keep at this, we might make progress. And I think this year, especially with $844 million, so-called in surplus.
You believe that? That's I have a story to tell you. Bro Rabbit and Aladdin and Snow White was standing on a street corner, and there was a the truck, Brink's truck, overturned, right? And which one of them you think turned the money in?
Yeah, right.
None of it, because it's all a big lie. The point is...
But, however, I do think, I was talking to Senator Oakland, and she actually said, she mentioned a $100 million deal this year. She said, oh, we're going to get $100 million for surely to help the homeless problem this year. So, there again, you know, I mean...
She's going to help the homeless project while the sale was going through, and the mayor was bold enough, unless the public got involved and started saying, this is crazy. This, you remember, they went in with a resolution. They didn't even pass a resolution. So here's my observation. Yeah, you're out there and you're successfully beating back the sidewalk law.
Right.
What I'm trying to bring to reality or bring to the table is that you shouldn't have to fight these crazy, stupid laws, because the system is not set up to manage. It's solely to manage the homeless people. It's not a solution. So yeah, so they throw nonsense out, and then you form a group and you go down there to fight back the nonsense. But the bigger picture is you're losing the war, the increase in population of homelessness because of the economy. Look, my point is, why should we trust anything that Caldwell or the governor say when we have now we've pulled the clothes off the emperor? We now see the naked truth, right?
Yeah.
How then can you invest any trust in anything? And I applaud the groups for going out there and beating back but that's a distraction. The reality is they can stand up and lie to you and hold money that HUD is getting, and the bigger problem is that HUD is not policing. So we need to focus on the bigger lies that are being told and then hold people accountable, not be swayed by, well, he's a nice guy, Suzanne Chan. You know, sometimes I get queasy when I engage in the conversation of homelessness. You know why?
I do.
Inevitably, somebody's going to call up and tell me about how great Suzanne Chan Oakland is. Then show me the proof. Show me the units. Show me the increase of affordable homes. Show me the reduction in the population of homelessness. You understand?
Oh, I understand very well.
So it's like shooting yourself in the foot. We want to praise people that are doing nothing. Yeah. Nothing. It's
well,
like a big story.
I think we're even getting serious about having enough civil disobedience.
Do something, because if we subscribe to Kirk Caldwell's way of managing business, selling something and then giving the buyer the money to buy it from him, then we are in hell, okay? We're destined for hell. We're destined to see greater things, because, quote, these are the same people now that operate in the vein of privatization. You've heard that word before, right?
Right.
Privatization. Privatization, because that's privatization is going to manage the money, and this guy is willing to stand up and see people starving, people sick, people homeless, and in turn can keep a straight face and holding on millions of dollars. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And not only, and then, mind you now, he spent some of it, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But he spent it on firehouses and fire trucks, right?
Yeah, right.
And so that's things that you should get through the taxpayers' money. These monies are designated for this or allocated. When you say I'm going to use it for homelessness and these programs, family home sharing, and there's a program I'm going to be asking questions. But anyway, my point is this. We, in order to get control over this failing system, is to hold people accountable. This is sufficient information to say that Kirk Caldwell is not a manager. He is not a leader. He lies, and he plays the best game of poker that any taxpayer has ever engaged in. Let's face it. So go ahead.
Anyway, I just want to tell you, Carol, like Martin Luther King said so long ago, he says the hottest place in hell is reserved for those that don't speak out. And how, thank you for you and your other caller. I mean, he's been a very outspoken fellow, and other people that are.
You mean Richard, our beloved Richard here?
Right. I mean, yeah, he speaks. He's very articulate.
Well, and, all of you. And so are you. You. I mean, That's why this is a good gathering place. We're not trying to impress anybody. Someone said the other day, well, you know, I think you come on too strong. Well, gee whiz, then maybe we should all just stop taking specialized medicine and take the same pill.
Well, you know, remember, that's what they said about Martin Luther King. You know, he's talking about the Vietnam War, he's talking about this and talking about the poor, and we can't have that, you know. And you know what, you have to do that. You have to get in their faces. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't be so precise and contain yourself. We're going to just handle one issue in a lifetime. Imagine that theory, that approach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well. But what they don't understand, there's a foundation. It's called humanity and civility.
And we're all connected. They're all connected.
You know what I mean? It's humanity and the inhumane treatment of other human beings and animals or whatever it is. That's the issue. It could be trains, planes, or buses. A bus strike, well, it's still about humanity.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Airplane strikes. So when people say that, I say that it's a cheap shot and they're uneducated, maybe formally educated in college, but in the walk of life, I say if the average person, I don't see hear them incorporate Kirk Caldwell and his failings and fallacies into the future conversations of homelessness. I don't want to engage in any more conversations because this was the biggest lie perpetrated on anyone. And here's the thing. As I pointed out and found out, the company had already had a building permit issued to them. Now, one may say, well, this is Kirk Caldwell's administration. Atta, I guess, is the guy who he appointed to DPPP, right? Department of Planning and Permitting.
Right.
How on earth, if I wanted to paint my house in Mililani, it would at least take me a month, maybe. How on earth did they get a permit issued to them, the buyer of this property, in 7 or 8 days?
Right.
How do you, and the value of the project was $9 million. How do you review plans in 6 days for such a major project? And then here's the killer, as I pointed out and uncovered. The company that was buying it has already registered with the city that they are the owner. In the building permit process, they claim that they were the owner.
Oh, come on.
Okay?
So there it goes.
This is
anyway,
why...
You keep up the good fight. You're the greatest.
This is why I say the subject matter isn't about the number of homeless. It's about the number of people that are unethical in government.
Oh,
like
I know.
Kirk Caldwell, like Neil Abercrombie, $800 million? You mentioned the number. Where did the $800 million come from?
Yeah.
Where, no, really, I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, that too. Of course, they already have that spent.
Richard, where did the $800 million come from?
Right. You and me and everybody.
So, I don't know.
To add to what your caller just said, in Dante's Inferno, there are several rings for the deceitful and the liars and so forth. The bottom rung of is people who have knowledge but do not act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, just like
Manichaean and all the rest of the philosophers. It's all here today.
Yeah, it's human behavior, right? We're going to have all that elements, and so we have to continue to monitor and forever be vigilant about this and not afraid to speak
more,
out.
More than in your face, Mr. Cox.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I don't know what to do, but I'm ready to do something.
Well, you could
you know, it's like Colin Kipman's, too. This fellow is the, I mean, he's the governor's coordinator on homelessness, and I ask, what is he coordinating? not much.
Well,
I mean, he's had what about 2 years now? He's still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's public relations. Oh yeah, we're doing something. We're doing this. We're doing that. And we're doing whatever.
Yeah,
but we're not doing anything. By the way.
Yeah.
Well, having Colin Kippen in office as a homeless czar is the equivalent of drowning and asking for a cement suit. He can do nothing for you. He doesn't have any money. He has no staff to really be aggressive to take on these issues.
Right.
It's just a figurehead.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do anything anyway because, first of all, they're going to go in and submit it to the political test. Okay, should we do anything? How would you do it? Okay, this will look good for... That's what these czars are for, to safeguard, make a safe place for the politicians.
Right.
That's all. In other words, it's a guard dog. That's all it is.
Right.
Or I would say a lap dog, because you're not going to operate outside of the wishes of the guy who appointed you.
Yep.
You understand? And Colin, I mean, if that's where he wants to submit himself, I would err on the side of it's painful to see the number of homeless people. And then I look at him as a nice man. He's a nice person. If you ever meet him, you can't be.
Oh, yeah.
But I look at the number of homeless people and the little children and the senior citizens and the mentally ill and all those people, and I have to defer to them. I have to err on their side. I'm gravitating to them because Colin got it. He can go get a job.
Amen.
So anyway, no disrespect, but you know, and Alfred Y and I earlier Poker was talking about it. You know, there just to show you, there's so many implications why I say that sometimes we can be silent about it and understand. Well, like me, here's my dilemma. That facility you see out there. There's a lawless things that are going on out there that is just not sucking jive. They don't want you to know, first of all. Now, is that wrong for me? I think this is where, if that's where they can exist, then fine. But here's the problem. From an ecological standpoint, you know why they call it Opiula? There's ankylene ponds there, or underneath, within the rocks. It's an ankylene community. These are rare ecological communities, right? And they have the opi, the little red opi. It's not an endangered, I don't think, but it's a very fragile species, very unique. So with the human impacts, so on one hand, I have mixed emotions. I think I the people there, I hope that something good come to them and they find homes and be provided shelter. But the impact of the no toilets and all of those things out there and the waste and the soap and all of those things might cause harm to that ankylene community. Ankylene. You follow?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So imagine, and so we're blaming the homeless. I guess they're an easy target. But
we have no money. We have no power. We have no influence.
But I challenge every caller that has been calling on the shows and have offering their smarts, I challenge any of you to write a terse letter or strong letter to Abercrombie, to Caldwell, and to your other elected officials and call them out on it.
I have.
I know you have, but the people that call in the show and they got offer so much, you know. No, let's go further. Let me, this is a game of dare now. Let me, send me a copy of your letter. You follow.
Half a dozen.
That's my challenge to many of the listeners out there, because I hear the same old song.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the choir is going to start up. I know what they're going to sing. You know, and then they're going to close a book and they're going to leave. And says, didn't we sound good? Yeah, you did. But the population of homeless continue to grow. The theory of reselling or selling affordable homes is crazy, but we're tolerating it. We just saw the worst deal ever put forward. And then we say, well, okay, we stopped that one. Now let's go back to the drawing board and let them start selling in. You going to trust Caldwell to sell anything of yours again? you know what I mean. See, where's the outrage? So anyway, guys, go ahead real quick. Each of you can take a minute. Say goodbye.
Yeah, I want to do, thank you for being another voice on the radio to let folks know. So we got to speak out. We got to let the public know. This is not fun and games for people that are homeless. Without homeless, okay? I don't even like to say homeless, because that means with homeless, that means less than a human to me.
Well, I know what you mean, but they are our brothers and sisters, and we must forever remember that. If we don't, shame on us.
Yeah.
You know, they're our cousins, brothers, uncles, aunts, and they're not, you know, they're human.
No, they're our family.
Well, thanks, Dave. Richard, real quick.
Yeah, thank you very much again. You're unique, and we need you very much. You're very educational for me, and I appreciate being able to say something on behalf of everybody, not just myself.
Well, continue to do so, and as I've said, always you're welcome to call up and talk as long as you want to, as long as the listeners don't mind.
Yeah, well, you be careful what you're saying, because the way I just started.
Hey, well, thanks for the warning.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
Okay, well, let's keep watching and talking.
I will. Bye.
Aloha. Thank you.
Anyway, folks, I know that this is not your standard cup of tea, but we have to do something. It's getting crazy, and we shouldn't be selling, in my opinion, anything. We should be buying and acquiring more properties to afford people homes, or come up with a strategy. Rethink the strategies and the management of our shelters. Rethink all of that. This is serious. We just saw the worst of the worst of the worst in management of business deals. And these are the same people. And it is clear now why the population of homelessness continues to increase. That is because we have people that are inept and inexperienced and will lie to you and have a poker face and say, aren't we doing a good job? So that's what I have to say, and I look forward to seeing this crazy circus that's coming to town with Mufi Hanneman. Imagine Mufi Hanneman running for office? Not cover now, running for office. Duke Iona running for cover, going to deliver us all to God or Jesus or whatever, and Neil Abercrombie. We need somebody that's coming in clean with some good ideas. So we'll talk to you next week, and thank you. This is Carol Cox Show. Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.